I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome. Welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 78. And today we're talking about how to get the balance between preaching preparation on one hand and pastoral ministry on the other. How do we balance these two responsibilities, or perhaps better, how do we blend them so that our preaching has the most impact it possibly can? It's a constant challenge for anybody, whether you are paid to do ministry or whether you have a secular, in a sense, job and preach and teach in your spare time. No matter the context of our personal lives, there is always a need, if we are speaking in a church context, to have an active pastoral ministry. How do we put all this together? And this was prompted by something I saw on a website earlier on today, actually, churchleaders.com. And I'll post the link in the show notes, so you'll get that there. But this is some questions asked by a chap called Colin Adams of Tim Keller. Tim Keller is one of the most well-known preachers today, and certainly somebody to be from whom we can learn a great deal. But I want to focus in particular on a couple of the questions that were asked and his responses. So let me read these for you. So the question here is, where do you place the importance of preaching in the grand scheme of church life? And his response was that it's central but not alone at the center. Pastoral ministry is as important as preaching ministry. And lay every member ministry is as crucial as ordained ministry. He was also asked, how long on average does it take to prepare a sermon? And he talks about the fact that these days it's 15 to 20 hours, but that's because he has a large staff. It's a very different context. But he says that when he would advise younger ministers to not spend so much time on their preparation. The main way to become a good preacher, I quote here, is to preach a lot and to spend tons of time in people work. That is how you will grow from becoming not just a Bible commentator, but a flesh and blood preacher, and so on. So in those days, he said, when he was a more junior minister, he would put in 6 to 8 hours on a sermon. And a final point here, he is asked, how do you fight the balanced preparation for preaching with other important responsibilities like pastoral care? And he says, it's a very great mistake to pit pastoral care and leadership against preaching preparation. It is only through doing people work that you become the preacher you need to be. Someone who knows sin, how the heart works, what people's struggles are, and so on. Pastoral care and leadership are, to some degree, sermon prep. More accurately, it is preparing the preacher, not just the sermon. Prayer also prepares the preacher, not just the sermon. I thought this was there were some very good points there. It's been on my mind because I've been rather busy with travel and various responsibilities recently and preparing sermons and teaching materials and quite a heavy workload in that regard recently. And I have not spent as much time with people over the last few weeks as I think would be healthy. And I've got to work out a way of, and part of my reason for doing this is to help me to think through and work out how can I make sure I'm getting this blend more healthily balanced or blended here between pastoral work, being with people, and my preparation. Just thinking about Jesus for a moment, in Luke chapter 5, a verse that means a lot to me and many people, in chapter 5 verse 16 it says, but Jesus, in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So there was his prep time in a way. We're not given any idea as to how Jesus prepared his lessons, his parables, and his, like, the Sermon on the Mount or something. But we do know that he went away to pray. He withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And I'd suspect those were the times of preparation for him, like in Mark chapter 1, verse 35 as well, when he goes off early in the morning. Prayer, thinking through things, thinking how to apply scriptures. But then that was sandwiched, as in here, chapter 5, verse 16, with busy people work. So right before that, in verse 15, news spread about him all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. So the crowds are there, then he goes away, and then he comes back. In verse 17, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there, and people had come from every village of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and he's surrounded with people again. So he goes from being surrounded with people to being alone with God to then being surrounded with people again. And it seems to me there's this There's this, I don't know if it's a pendulum swing or whether it's just a seasonal thing where we understand we need to go away into our study, into our place of prayer, with our Bible, with our software, our Bible commentaries, and then we need to come back to be with people. There's this in and out flow. So with those thoughts in mind, let me give us three tips that may help us to make good decisions about the blending of our preparation time and our pastoral work. Now, I'm going to suggest, first of all, that we must plan our preparation time. Preparation time doesn't happen by accident. It's important to put it in your diary, put it in your schedule, and whether it's between 6 and 7 in the morning, or whether it's on mostly on a Monday or on a Saturday afternoon, or whatever it is, but we block some time aside daily, or at least every few days, for preparation time. So plan it into the schedule, because especially if you are the kind of person who likes to respond to every request or need for some time with people, you'll find yourself neglecting the preparation. And that's not good. It's not good to neglect our Bible study and our preparation if we are regularly teaching and preaching. So first of all, plan in your preparation time. That will make a significant difference, because then when someone asks you, can I see you at that time? You can say, well, actually, I have an appointment. It's with God. It's with my Bible. Now, if it's urgent, that's another matter. We'll come to that in a second. But if it's just a casual request for some time, it is important that we can say, I have this blocked off for another purpose. Could we meet at another time? And unless it's particularly urgent, that's usually going to be possible. So firstly, plan your preparation time. The second is, if someone asks you, during particularly when you've blocked aside some preparation time, or you are feeling the press for enough time to prepare well, then it's important to ask the person who's asking you for time whether it's truly urgent. Many times people will say, it's a crisis, it's critical, I must meet with you, but is it really urgent? My wife is a doctor and they have emergency appointments at her surgery, and sometimes people will ring up and ask for an emergency appointment and be given an emergency appointment, and when they actually arrive in her consultation room, it turns out they have a bad cold, which is not most people's definition of an emergency. So it's important to ask the person, tell me a bit about the situation. Why would you like to meet up? I'm not being defensive, but just tell me more about the situation. And then if they describe something to you that it sounds truly urgent and critical, then of course we leave our desk, we leave our books, and we go. But if it's really something that could be attended to in a few hours' time, or the next day, or the next time you see them at a regular time, then leave it for then. So secondly, ask how urgent are the needs. And thirdly, we need to consider ourselves that when we say yes to one thing, we must be saying no to something else. And we need to weigh up the significance of what we're saying yes to and what we're saying no to. If someone asks me to spend some time together, it should be within my heart for me to say, I would like to. It's good for me to be like Jesus and to love being with people. And I need to pray for that heart. It's not always naturally there. But let's assume that I could say yes, and I would want to say yes to a request for some time with somebody. I need to consider, if I'm going to say yes to that, what am I saying no to? Now, if it's no to a game of golf or cleaning my shoes, then there's no question there. But if by saying yes to meet this person, I'm saying no to spending time with my children or something of that significance, then I think, well, perhaps that's not the right answer. It wouldn't be the right answer to say yes to this person. Perhaps I can say yes, but could we do it tomorrow? Or yes, but how about this afternoon rather than this morning? These are some things to consider. So 3 points here. Firstly, have a plan for your preparation time. Secondly, ask the person how urgent is their request. Thirdly, if you're saying yes to something, consider what you're saying no to. And if you're going to say no, what does that mean you're going to be saying yes to? So a few years ago, I attended London School of Theology, and one of my lecturers was Derek Tidball, then the principal of LST, and lectured me in pastoral ministry. And part of pastoral ministry, the module there, was about preaching. And he made this comment, I'm paraphrasing, but something like this. He said, a congregation will forgive you if you are okay at pastoral work, but really good as a preacher. Or they'll forgive you if you're really good at pastoral work and okay as a preacher. But they will not forgive you if you are poor at either one. In other words, you can't be a poor at pastoral work and a great preacher and think you can get away with it, or be great at pastoral work but poor as a preacher. You must be at least okay at both, preferably good, and surely we can grow to become really good at pastoral work and at preaching and teaching. So these are some things to consider. Where are you with all this? Are you particularly good at one and not at the other? Are you working hard to become competent at the one where perhaps you are weaker? It's important we get this blend right. Jesus got the blend right. He loved being with people. He was very effective with people, but he was also an excellent preacher and teacher. And I can't believe he didn't have to prepare. He did go away to pray and be alone with God. I suspect that's when he was doing his preparation. So what about you? Do you have the right time set aside for preparation? Do you have the flexibility to be willing to spend time with people when they need it? And is it a significant component of your life? Whether you are, as I said earlier, whether you're paid to do this or whether it's a volunteer position you have, it's important that we are with people and that we're with God in our preparation time. So let me know if this has been helpful. I would very much value your thoughts on how we get this blend right. Have I missed something significant? Are there scriptures that help you with this? Or anything, any other resources that help you to decide how to or how to have that blend properly arranged in your life? I'd be very grateful to hear from that about that. And so would the people who listen and watch these recordings. So please leave a comment. Leave a comment wherever you hear or see this this recording. I know that not only I, but others would benefit. We learn best when we learn in community. So until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.